With the end of the acrimonious midterm elections and the total rout of the SunCal developers, Mr. Howitzer has been in a funk, for he has dearly longed to expand his millions some 12-fold by means of an ambitious high-rise development down at Belena Bay called the 19s, by reason of the number of buildings and the number of stories allotted to each. But because the Measure A height limit of 4 stories was preserved during the last 2 elections, his pet project got put on hold for the moment. He still has hopes this minor annoyance will be done away with eventually, yet he's rather touchy right about now and has taken to whipping his man Dodd at the random moment with a hazel rod. He almost took the stick to Eisenhower, his dog. However, a man wants discipline, and so needs to have limits put upon himself. Besides, there are laws against cruelty to animals in this town. Dodd, who is a conservative, a graduate of UCB and Eton, with degrees in linguistics, world history, international finance, and astrophysics, and only marginally employed, has gotten used to this sort of thing. Such is the way in NorCal, where everyone is underemployed and has to learn how to deal. All the gang at Marlene and Andre's household kept close to home for the holidays this year, largely because since just about everyone had lost their jobs, nobody had enough money to go anywhere. Martini had lost his job sweeping floors at the Numi Auto Plant, which had closed for good this year, releasing about 5,000 folks into the labor pool. Tipitina got her hours at Laffin Pivot and Vogelberg in the city cut back, while Denby and Jose found getting odd jobs to be more difficult. Even Javier's gardening and landscaping gigs have dried up. Fortunately, the GOP relented on the unemployment benefit extension in exchange for awarding pots of money to folks who already sit on pots of money. But hey, a deal's a deal. There were some good things about the situation, for since nobody can afford to heat the one-bedroom cottage there with about 12 to 15 folks sacking out on the floor, under the coffee table, in the fireplace, in the closet, and on bunks in the hall, sheer body heat helped to keep the place nice and warm. New Year's Eve, however, is a mandated opportunity for performers of all kinds, and so Swan is slated for the revelries at the Crazy Horse Saloon.
Step right up, we got firecrackers, we got cherry bombs, we got sparklers and champagne galore. Step right up and get your lap warmed by one of them fabulous dances. Enjoy a special one-on-one, pop your cork special, step right up.
Andre's band, No Future in Real Estate, is doing a gig over at the Native Sons of the Golden West Parlor at the marina, where Jose and Javier are helping cater the festivities there. The old same place bar is, like all the taverns, all gussied up for New Year's Eve, meaning that the jar of pickles has a wreath, the windows have tinsel draped on the neon sign for New Belgium, which is the brewery that makes Fat Tire Ale, and Susie is wearing a cap with tassels and a green miniskirt, the last part being Porek's idea. Refusing to be controlled, Susie clumps around in Doc Martin boots to complete her holiday costume. For music, Porek has managed to engage Denby's band, the Monkey Spankers, which consists of Denby and his friend Paul on guitars and occasional Quentin on drums. Quentin does not know how to play drums, nor does Denby know how to play guitar. However, the old same place bar is a place where people go to do 2 things efficiently and with intense focus. They want to forget about life's miseries, and they want to absorb a quantity of alcohol. Often, the 2 goals are conflated. So the quality of the music matters little. It does enable the enterprising Porek to put out a sign announcing live music, which may serve to rope in a few new customers who are likely to spend some dollars on at least 1 or 2 drinks before leaving in disgust. Over at the parsonage, it is Pastor Nyquist's turn to host his friend and neighbor, Father Richard Dennylook, who has replaced Father Guimon as priest over at Our Lady of Incessant Complaint.
The two became good friends several years ago during the last Pineapple Express series of rainstorms. It had long been the habit of the Catholic priest to take a walk around the block on Saturday and so meditate upon the mysteries and the subject for the next day or next week's sermon. Coincidentally, it had been the habit of the Lutheran pastor to also take the same walk about the same time and for the same purpose,
moving as was his nature, anti-clockwise, around the block. For this reason, the two had never met except for that brief moment in passing when each would nod curtly to the other before proceeding on their respective journeys. As it so happened, one year the rains came down with such force and wind that the umbrellas of both the pastor and the priest gave out, forcing them to take shelter at the bus stop, right in front of the Episcopalian Church at Grand and Santa Clara. Since this bus line went directly past the island mosque, El Hajj, cleric Mustafa Kemal also had taken shelter there, along with Reverend Freethought of the Unitarian Church further down toward Park Street. The island is well known for its churches, of which there just may be almost as many or more so than taverns. The little group there went on to establish their own special interdenominational faith-based initiative, along with Rebbe Stachelbaum and the Reverend Thornbush of the Lincoln Street Storefront Baptist Church, and they experienced some success bringing the word, in several of its different forms and versions, to the taverns and pubs all over the island until it finally fell apart over a disputed game of checkers in which no one could agree upon the rules. Father Dannylook and the pastor Enquist remained good friends after that, largely because the pastor would loan out his choir singers to the priest on special occasions, and the priest always had a good supply of wine in his cabinet, and he, unlike many of his tribe, possessed an hearty sense of humor as well as a gift for telling stories. Every year, the two representatives of the Lutheran and the Catholic churches, which sit diagonally across from each other on Grand Street, meet to sip cordials, discuss theosophical matters, and watch the ball drop in Times Square on the TV from their plush chairs, until the weariness of all the world descends upon each of them, sometimes before midnight, sometimes afterward. Then, it is Sister Cecilia, if at the rectory, or Maria, at the parsonage, who comes by to turn off the TV with its talking heads and confetti streaming, rescue the cordial glasses, and place on each lap a warm blanket before dimming the lights, leaving the two men of cloth slumped over as the long howl of the through-passing train ululates across the newborn waves of the estuary, as the locomotive wends its way from the gantries of the port, past the dark and shuttered doors and windows of the Jack London waterfront, heading off to parts unknown in the new year. That's the way it is on the island. Have a great new 2011.
This has been an Island Life production.
done in association with the People's Republic of St. Charles.